You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
We're back with another week of baseball talk because there was another week of baseball this week. That's how it works.
What? Wait,
once the season
there?
Starts. Yeah. There was tons of games over the course of the week. All the teams played at least one game. We have baseball to talk about.
I got to figure this sport out.
Before we get into the show, of course, we have to give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio and OffTheBenchBaseball.com for their support. Check out BoardwalkAudio.com for lots more great podcasts. And check out OffTheBenchBaseball.com for hot breaking baseball analysis. And I do mean hot.
It's hot. Your temperature will go up reading it.
Yeah. Your body, it's dangerous. it's like the flu. OffTheBenchBaseball.com, basically the flu.
I'm sure they love it. Yeah. They love that promo.
I'm working on this show right now, and we're trying to incorporate like some product placement to like make the sponsors happy. And like the main funder of the platform that it's on is Walmart. And so we're trying to figure out like places to like insert Walmart, like sort of like not noticeably, but just like in the world. But all of my pitches are like make Walmart seem like shit. Like the only way I can think to make it like funny and not obnoxious is to have somebody come in and make fun of Walmart. And that is absolutely not what they're looking for.
Yeah. Also, I feel like Walmart has a famously terrible sense of humor about itself.
Oh, absolutely. No question about that.
Like, I feel like there are some companies you can get away with, like, ribbing a little.
Yeah,
definitely. Like, it's like a roast.
Right.
If you finesse it correctly.
Yeah. And that's what I would like it to be, but that is not what they would like it to be. They would like it to be somebody being like, this sandwich that I got from the Walmart grocery is delicious, you know.
When I was in high school, my friend and I, we once spent, I think, 12 hours straight in our local Walmart.
Oh, my God.
Just because, for no reason.
Because that's Iowa?
In high school. Yeah, kind of. And we, just a sandwich reminded you, because we did not have a good experience eating the food at Walmart.
Was it purposeful? You were like, we're going to spend the next 12 hours here.
Well, we wanted to do it because, like, it's to us, it's a bit, but for no one but us, that we wanted to go to, like, a 24-hour Walmart. And then do that, and then we were gonna do it, but we would have had to drive to a different town, and we were like, "This feels like too much." So we went to our local Walmart on my mom's birthday, and like we're there from like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. or something like that. It was so dumb.
That is an extremely high school thing to do,
yeah,
for sure.
In a small town,
you're like asserting your independence somehow, but like also like being like. Like thinking you're very funny, but actually just being kind of shitty.
We didn't. I mean, I don't think we were both like nice people, so I don't think.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, it's. Oh, it was on my mom's birthday, so yeah, I got like I think we had like a late dinner. But then when we were done, I was like, okay, that was fun. See ya. You know, it's like we were both like, why do we do this? This is so stupid.
Yeah. How did you spend? You were just walking around?
A lot of walking around. We did spend some time in the cafeteria. Because that's also, it's like a Walmart. This is before Super Walmart. So it had their own little, do you remember? Have you ever seen Walmart? Like a little, they just had their own little like cafeteria with concession stand level food.
Right.
Like shitty concession stand. We hung out by like where the car stereo display was and just like listened to the radio for a while. We called into a station and like got on because we're like, we're hanging out at Walmart for 12 hours. And they like talked to us for a sec. We tried on like triple XL shirts that we both fit in. I don't know what else.
The inventiveness.
I don't know what else. Yeah.
Well, there's no great way to segue from that into baseball talk. I thought I was going to try, and I couldn't think of anything. So let's start talking about baseball.
Yeah, sure.
The first thing that we wanted to touch on this week was just a couple of teams that when we were kind of browsing the standings and like the last week of games and stuff, we're both kind of shocked that these teams were doing so well, because it doesn't really seem like anybody's talking about them, at least that I've seen it. That's the Minnesota Twins and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. And so the Twins, much to my chagrin, are in first place in the AL Central, two games up over Cleveland, 16-9, plus 27 run differential, which is fourth in the American League and seventh in the major leagues. Pretty good for a Twins team that I think had kind of an underwhelming winter. Made some moves, but nothing that would blow you away. You know, it'd be like, oh, the Twins are going to really step up last year, or this year, considering how bad they were last year. And just looking at kind of the rundown of Twins players, Jorge Polanco and Eddie Rosario have both been worth a win and a half. And Jose Berríos each. Yeah. Wow. Jose Berríos and Mitch Garver have both been worth about a win. And Nelson Cruz has been worth almost that much as well. Nelson Cruz just will never stop hitting, I guess.
Do you
remember when the Mariners signed him to that contract?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, this is a terrible contract.
So
he's old and he's like not, you know, he's had some good years, but he's not an elite player. And then he's just crushed it for going on 6 years now.
So that turns out to be like a low key good move for the
Yeah. I mean, I kind of thought like, you know, Nelson Cruz has been in his decline phase and has not fallen off the cliff. So, like, probably a fairly gentle slope downwards.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he'd be, like, decent this year. But, I mean, he's got an OPS above 1,000 and has been worth almost a win less than a month.
Probably not sustainable, but I imagine he'll be closer to that than worse than, you know, but, like, maybe he can, an OPS of 1,000, maybe.
It probably won't be that high because he's never been that high. But like, you know, you could probably pencil him in for 30 home runs.
But that's like exactly what the Twins need, right?
Yeah.
Like, because if they can get a couple people on and then they have him to like blast one, like that's three runs.
I just feel
like
I just feel like he's had a fascinating career. I mean, he's a 6-time All-Star, but he wasn't even a regular major league player until he was 28.
That's so it.
Like, dude's going to close his career probably with 400 home runs. And up until his age 27 season, he had 22 in his career through the end of his age 27 season. Like,
wow.
It's kind of strange. You just don't see career paths like that in the post-steroids era, I feel like.
And I guess he did do steroids, right? Or he did.
Didn't
he get busted for something? Am I confusing him with someone else?
I don't recall him getting busted, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I could be confusing him with someone else. But I don't think that's what's still happening, or even if he did.
He was busted for PEDs in 2013.
Yeah, so
suspended
I don't...
50 games.
When he's with the Orioles?
This would be when he was with the Rangers.
Oh, Rangers. Oh, okay.
Yes. His final season with the Rangers.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I don't think that explains it, because it would be insane, I guess, for him to be continuing to use PEDs.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
like,
presumably he would have been busted again.
I feel like he's one of those guys that, like, because there are those guys that you hear, or, I mean, I look at the history of the game a lot, and there are these guys from, like, the 80s or late 70s that I, like, barely know of, you know, and then like, but do you look at their numbers and they're like, oh, like Cecil Cooper hit 30 home runs 4 years? That's probably not. But, and then he's probably going to be one of those guys where in 30 years, someone like our age is going to be like, who's this Nelson? Like,
yeah,
they'll see
right.
it and they'll be like, what?
Yeah.
Because he's not going to be particularly memorable, right?
No, I mean, definitely a Hall of Very Good guy.
Sure.
But I would not say he's like, he's never been a superstar. He's just been a good hitter in small markets for, you know, a decade.
I think that's the dream.
What, as a player?
Well, I mean, the Hall of Fame is like the dream, but like if you realize that you're not a Hall of Fame level player, if you can just be like this good with no pressure ever on you, really, other than probably that big contract. But like, he has no pressure on him right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the, to me, that's the dream.
Yeah. And make $100 million.
Right.
Not
yeah.
too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cruz Polanco, who is another, fingered steroid user. That sounded grosser than I meant it to, but he was suspended last year for steroids.
Right.
What I'm trying to say. Eddie Rosario on it, having his second straight good year. Byron Buxton having a pretty good year, I think.
Which is important for the Twins to succeed.
Yeah. I think a lot has broken right for them, obviously, but nothing that is extremely unsustainable. I mean, besides Berríos, their rotation has been not great. The bullpen's been really good, so I guess maybe that would be the sort of unsustainable thing,
but
if there is one. But
bullpens
like
bullpens are so unpredictable that
yeah, and like this is the benefit of being in the AL Central, right?
Yeah.
Is like this is why everybody was like, why is Cleveland not doing anything this offseason to like solve their just outfield black hole at
right.
all three spots. And they're paying the price for it. They're
yeah.
looking up in that the Twins in the standings and in the Pythagorean standings, the run differential. I mean, I think that the Twins have a really good shot at winning the division.
Oh, I definitely.
It makes me fucking curious,
yeah.
but that's another
there's
point.
There's nothing that we've talked about that doesn't make me think. I mean, if their starting pitcher like pitching truly implodes, but if their bullpen can hang in there.
I mean, the back of their rotation is not an impressive group. Like Michael Pineda coming off of Tommy John surgery.
I can't believe he's still hanging in there.
He's only 30.
I know, but it seems like he's been injured 50 times.
He has.
he's literally been on the IL 50 times.
Yeah. Jake Odorizzi, another guy who you're I forgot about him. Kyle Gibson, like that's their. And then they've had a few guys. They've had Martin Perez, who's been around forever, and Cole Stewart make a start, and that's their rotation.
I feel like when you were previewing the Twins this year, you could have just had a gif of dice rolling and then a sentence that said Byron Buxton needs to be good.
Yeah.
And then that's the whole deal. I mean, I don't...
Byron Buxton hasn't even been great necessarily. He's just been solid. But like,
well,
I guess that's sort of the... That would be the insurance for them if other guys take a step back, is maybe Buxton
can nudge forward.
Builds, yeah, on the first month. Also, Williams Astudillo, one of the funnest players in the major leagues.
I'm glad you can get over your Twins hatred to appreciate him.
Oh, my God. How could
insane.
You not?
Yeah,
just like a
to.
Weird, chubby guy
oh
who
my gosh,
hits
yeah.
and has no position. Like, that's one of the...
Like,
one
never
of the funnest
strikes out,
baseball,
never walks. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the funnest baseball archetypes is just like a pudgy guy who can hit.
It's like, because it also gives like everyone the false hope of just like, man, if I just work on my eye, I could make it. You know, well, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, you think about like that dude must just have elite hand-eye coordination. Like
yeah.
It must be the best in the league. He just never strikes out.
Yeah, but he also might have like because I've read studies and shit about like how just he could probably just see the ball better.
Yeah, like 20/10 vision or whatever.
Yeah, or like some people can see the spin better, so mm-hmm. they can catch, if they can see the seams,
yeah.
then he knows like if
what
he,
kind of
he
pitch
can identify it,
is. It
earlier. And it's just like, if he has that crazy vision and crazy hand eye, then he can, it's like the movie Basketball where they could shoot and he's just like good at the one thing.
I haven't seen Basketball.
You ever seen Basketball?
No.
Boy, it's not worth it now, but you should go back in time and watch it when you were 15.
that's the first thing I'll do with the time machine I've been working on.
Go back. last time I watched it, I was in Barcelona enjoying my vacation like 2 years ago. I loved it when I was growing up. I like wore out a tape watching that movie. Does not hold up.
Yeah. I'm surprised I never saw it because I loved the South Park movie and loved Team America. And
well, the thing a lot of people don't know is that Matt Parker and
they didn't write it.
It was the like airplane guys and the Naked Gun guys that wrote it, the Zuckers or whatever.
Weird that they just had
yeah.
the South Park guys star in it, but neither
very
here
weird.
Nor there.
Yeah.
Yes, Williams Astudillo, very fun
you
player.
You gotta be on board with him.
Like What is the rest of his career going to be like? Is he like, you could see anything from him being like an up and down in the majors kind of a guy to like maybe he makes a couple all-star teams because he's like so unique and fun.
Does he hit for power?
He didn't in the minors, but he has been, I think, surprising. He's hit for a surprising amount of power in the majors.
I mean, what's his,
like his. He never hit more than 4 home runs in a season until last year. And last year he hit 15 across AAA and the majors.
I mean, he kind of is going to live and die by his BABIP then, right?
Oh, yeah.
If he's just constantly making contact. So yeah. I think, yeah, if he has a good BABIP year, then he could be an all-star, at least like a... Man. I feel like he needs to go to the National League and bat 9th and have a pitcher bat 8th, you know? Like, that's the guy you want. So that you can set the...
I guess. Like,
he's fine on the Twins, too.
You like? I feel like he should be getting regular playing time until he proves that he can't. He's not worth it. I mean, the dude, like hits 300 in his sleep.
He's like slow Ichiro.
Yeah, like, kind of, yeah.
I mean, there has to be a place for him.
Yeah.
What does he play when he plays? What position?
He's played 5 games at first, 5 games at catcher, 4 games in the outfield, and 3 games at third base. What a weird fucking player.
If he's playing in left, all of those positions are fine for, like, you're going to, even if he's like not that great defensively, but if he's hitting, they're like, he's not playing an elite position.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, catcher, if he's like a really bad catcher, you don't want him back there. But he can play for, if he's hitting 300, I mean, I guess you want power out of your first baseman, but like, why if he's getting on base?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's just a DH, you know?
I mean, yeah. Poor man's Edgar Martinez, yeah. Just without the power. But
whenever Nelson Cruz moves on. So, yeah.
I hope that in 20 years that he's the Nelson Cruz. That's 20 years is a lot, but like, I would love if he was playing 20 years from now and he's just like this veteran. He's like the offensive
Julio
Bartolo
Franco.
Colon or Julio Franco. Yeah. I would love it.
How bizarre, man. Baseball is excellent. Like, you just get players that you've never seen before. Like, this dude is a player straight out of like the 1920s, you know? It's wild.
But also I feel like he would probably have been playing in the 80s. Back when there wasn't no one had any power, really, you know, late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, I guess
when
you
like
could,
32 home runs led the league.
You could make the case that he's sort of like a very poor man's Tony Gwynn almost.
Yeah, because Tony Gwynn was a contact machine too. How do you feel about we talked about Tony Gwynn?
Yeah, I think he was both of our favorite Padres. Didn't we do?
Yeah, we did.
Padres
We talked about him.
Well, so moving on to the NL West, where the Padres play. Now that is a transition. The Arizona Diamondbacks are in third place, 16-13, which is not as good as the Twins. But I think having traded Goldschmidt this year, nobody had any kind of expectations for the Diamondbacks.
It seemed like they were in a power down year.
Yes.
Phase one of a rebuild.
A phase one of a rebuild, exactly. But they have a 20 run, a positive 20 run differential. And their success is kind of it's less explicable than the Diamondbacks, I think, just in terms of expectation.
Yeah.
At the very least. But Zach Greinke's having a very good year. They're kind of relying on some reclamation projects in a way. I mean, Greg Holland has been very good in the bullpen. Adam Jones and Jerod Dyson are both having very good years.
Jerod Dyson having a good year is really weird. I don't know.
It's really weird that he has a .517 slugging percentage. That's very weird. Yeah. That's not what you would expect from Jerod Dyson.
I wonder, though, but like a fast guy can get triples. I don't know how he's doing it.
No, he has 3 home runs. Yeah. One triple and one double. So I think playing in the...
Oh, he's not playing that much.
In Chase Bank ballpark is probably helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, his career high in home runs is 5 home runs in 111 games, and he has 3 in 22.
Yeah, I think he had a game-tying one against the Cubs, not this series, but like 2 weeks ago, which was annoying.
Christian Walker, who is a player I've never heard of before this
season. He's over one OPS, right?
Yeah, 1,000 OPS, replacing Goldschmidt at first. But sort of take that as a collection of guys that we've just named. I think probably there's some regression coming for the Diamondbacks.
Oh, I mean, but Greg Holland had a good second half of last year, right?
I think he had a good first half and then was bad in the second half.
I mean, you're going to expect yes.
Or was it the other way around?
I don't know. I'm having such a bad time.
I guess
wasn't he the one that signed with the Cardinals like late and then went to the Nationals?
Yes.
Yeah, he had a good second half. Yeah, with the Nationals. So he could be, that isn't necessarily a regression. Greinke, we could probably figure can keep it up.
You think, both of those guys, you know, Holland's 33, Greinke's 35. Like,
right.
Those are perilous ages for pitchers.
They could get injured, but both of those have a recent track record that would make us think that it's not crazy to think that they would that they could keep it up.
Like, not crazy. I guess, like,
I think Adam Jones or Dyson or this Walker guy are the people that we would be most concerned if you're a Diamondbacks fan of not keeping it up.
Yeah. I think that's probably true. But like that, I guess that's a lot of guys to hope keep playing well,
yeah,
you know.
It definitely is.
And
they've
been hit by injuries too. I mean, Steven Sousa, Jake Lamb, Taijuan Walker, all on the disabled list. Alex Avila as well. I don't know. I guess.
What a weird team of cast-offs.
Yeah, very much a cast-off team. It kind of feels like a major league team, like the movie, you know, where it's just like guys kind of from all over the place. A weird collection of talent, a weird assembly for sure.
I mean, it's so hard to think about how it's going to. It's so early.
Yeah, very early still.
And that division is like, but the thing is like, if the Padres regress and the Rockies have been playing better lately, but if they stay basically not good, and then you got the terrible Giants, like, you're getting beat up by the Dodgers, but like, if they are the best of the rest, like, that's a possible 85 win, you know what I mean? If the Diamondbacks can consistently beat up those other teams, but I don't think it's crazy to think that they could, because all those other teams had the same flaws.
Yeah, like, and they've been better. The Padres have a negative run differential. So do the Rockies. Like, they've been better than those teams.
Yeah.
Even though they're a half game behind the Padres. I mean, this is the Dodgers division for sure.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard for them to even be in the mix for the wild card with how deep the Central and the East are. But I think, like, if you're a Diamondbacks fan or somebody in the front office, like, you have to be really happy with how this team has done, considering, you know, the moves that they made and the idea that they're like trying to reload or trying to rebuild.
If nothing else, like, you have trade pieces.
Yeah.
Like, if Adam Jones does keep it up and someone needs an outfielder.
Yeah.
The Yankees.
Yeah. Like, or maybe somebody takes Greinke's like the rest of his contract off their hands.
Yeah. Or
some
Holland
point.
Is the same way.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, if they can be better, I mean, I don't think that they have a chance at the wild card, but, like, you know, the East could just beat each other up to the point where they're all hovering around 87 wins. You know, like, they could sneak in because these other clubs are all beating it. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's just a tough needle to thread, especially when you have a lower base talent level than I think. And they're much more the Pirates than they are.
Oh, definitely.
Or even the Reds, like, on a talent level than sort of any of the.
The Reds might
more
have
serious contenders.
More talent. Reds just don't have a lot of pitching.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's fun. I think that, like, this team, even if they finish 81-81, it's a success and it's a fun team.
Yeah, for sure.
And if they can take, like, two or three from Dodgers in early September, like, it's, like, I feel like this is
what I wouldn't give for a 500 finish for the White Sox, Waylon. I think I've come to appreciate much more, like, decent teams than I had before the White Sox started rebuilding. I've come to appreciate the idea of, like, the value in, like, having a decent season.
I feel the same way about the Royals. It's so funny because, like, the Cubs would be like, I would be like, devastated if they were 81 and 81. Right. Like, and then both the Royals were sniffing 80, I'd be like, yeah,
yeah,
this is a great, fun team.
Yeah.
Speaking of Royals real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Hunter Dozier. That dude is here.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, after sort of everybody kind of wrote him off. Because he was like a first-round draft pick, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, very highly regarded, and then he just, like, sucked in the minors
like
for, like, 6 years.
Like, Alex Gordon bad forever, and then suddenly when you're in your mid to late 20s, you're good again.
Hey.
Call Bubba Starling up. Let him do it.
This is the Royals' new market inefficiency. Him and... like Solaire and Whit Merrifield.
Yeah.
Like, this is how the Royals are going to be contenders again.
Yeah. I know. We don't have to talk about Royals. We talk about the Royals all the time, but it's just nice to see.
Yeah.
They are. Pleasant surprise. You texted me about Mondesi. He's fun to watch. They are pleasantly fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's always much better than having a fucking. Who's bad? The Marlins are so fun to watch. Are the White Sox. But you have Tim Anderson.
Tim Anderson.
If Jimenez starts in Moncada.
Anderson and Moncada have been fun. Basically, everyone else has been terrible.
Who's the pitcher that just had 14 strikeouts?
Ronaldo Lopez.
He's seemed fun to watch, right?
Yeah, well, except that this 6 innings of one-run ball and 14 strikeouts today brought his ERA down to 6.
Oh, so, for some reason, I thought he was doing better.
No, Rodon started well.
Yeah.
Lopez started very poorly. Now Lopez is pitching well, and Rodon is pitching very poorly. So there's just no, aside from Anderson and Moncada, there have not been many encouraging signs this season. But we also don't have to talk about the White Sox because
I don't want to, because I hate them. But I've watched some Marlins games, and it's just like if you're one of the 15 Marlins fans, it's like real tough.
Yeah, the Sox had a series against the Orioles this week too, and like it's very bleak to watch for sure.
And I feel like maybe the Pirates might fit in that category, even though they were playing well. Like, it just doesn't seem like they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
Also, I'm gonna say it: they have the worst announcers in the league. Like,
really?
Bar
you
none.
Think?
Just tune into like 2 Pirates innings. They're the two least enthusiastic people I've ever heard in my life, and they're like, it's so bad that when I'd watch just like a standard. I go through and watch like MLB's apps, like they like choose like probably 20 highlights or 15 highlights. And if it's a Pirates one, it's almost always the radio call.
Hmm.
And it's no other team has consistently has their radio call except for the Brewers, but that's because it's Bob Uecker.
Right.
But like, and I think it's because they're that bad, because I don't think the Pirates radio guy is like anything.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever watched a Pirates broadcast.
It's not fun to watch.
I'll give it a peek just to know.
Yeah. But just to know. But the Diamondbacks, I think, even if they don't succeed, they're not going to keep this up, I don't think. But they should be fun to watch.
Hopefully. I'm in favor of fun teams.
Fun teams? I feel like it's been a fun team year, right?
Yeah, lots of fun stuff going on. I think Mariners have been very fun, surprising.
Blue Jays are fun to watch even before Vlad got there, but now they're extra fun. Padres, people have gotten excited about.
Yeah.
The Reds.
Yeah.
Are fun to watch, I feel like. They're just these teams that probably aren't going to be good, but still
exciting.
Have a little fire under
some
them.
Some interesting things to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other thing that we wanted to talk about this episode and has perhaps contributed to what is fun about baseball right now is the juiced ball.
Juice balls.
Which it's growing harder for MLB to deny that the balls are different because they have now introduced the Major League balls to AAA, and there's just been this offensive explosion in AAA, which is kind of, I think, validating what pitchers especially have been saying for the last 2 years. I don't know. It's how do you feel about the juiced ball? Positive, negative?
Oh, I'm fine with it. I don't care. Like, I mean, the only thing that's annoying about it is that does it affect the way pitchers pitch?
Yeah, it does. So the thing that I think is unfortunate about it is a lot of pitchers have said that they have trouble throwing their breaking balls with it. Like their breaking balls do not break in the same way in the majors or now in AAA using this ball that's a little bit slicker and
has lower seams, I believe. That's also maybe the blister blame
is
coming from that.
Right.
I mean, the blister thing bothers me. I guess like you want to be able to throw your breaking pitch, but strikeouts are still up.
Yes.
So I think that pitchers are obviously still better than they were or better in some respects. You know what? Like,
well, they're certainly
it's a tough line
throwing
for me
harder still, and the
is
way,
that why strikeouts are up?
What, that velocity is up? I mean, I think that's part of it. I think another part is the way that pitchers are hitters are approaching hitting
like
in that
that
launch angle, and like that sort of front offices have now. I think guys who used to strike out a lot, it used to be like a huge, it used to hugely impact their earning power and their ability to get playing time is because, you know, teams didn't want strikeouts. They still don't want strikeouts, obviously, but they were not willing to put up with as many strikeouts in exchange for power or in exchange for, you know, harder contact.
Right.
And I think that, I think now, so that's, it's sort of a confluence of factors, I guess.
Yeah. So that's the thing that bothers me about it, the pitching stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, it's weird. Like, it's just another element of, like, how much baseball is changing. And I think, I don't know if it was conscious on the part of MLB. I feel like it must have been, but the idea that the home run boom and like the steroid era was very good for baseball.
Yeah.
And I think they probably wanted to recreate that in a way that, you know, players weren't using steroids, because that obviously made a lot of fans angry and has a lot of problematic elements to it. So they introduced this baseball at the same time that like shifts were becoming more prevalent, and
like a lot happened at once.
Yeah. And like velocity is still going up, and the analytics became an even bigger part of the game, and
yeah,
just
which is
all contributes
to grasp.
Yeah. I don't know. I think baseball is evolving right now in ways that are fun and ways that are scary to people who appreciate what baseball always has been.
But I think at the same time, it's like, like we just mentioned, like baseball in the late 70s and early 80s was way different than during the steroid era.
Yeah.
And then
for
sure. It was also way different than in the 50s in like power wise. Because in the 50s, you had like Mays and Mantle, and like that's what Maris in the early 60s. But like there was more power, then speed became important because of AstroTurf. Like that was like a whole different way to play.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot at once. The juice balls don't bother me just because it's like, other than the fact that, like, I don't want pitchers getting hurt because of it. But, like, home runs are cool. Like, whatever. I mean, they're still hitting. I'm more bothered by, like, the Yankees getting cheap home runs because their right field porch is, like, moved in, than just everyone playing with now a new ball that's easier to hit a home run with.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, to your point, baseball always is and always has been and always will be changing, you know. And I think that's the thing that sort of like befuddles me a little bit about the people who whine about shifts and whine about strikeouts and whine about bat flips and what is like this you're right that like these things were not a part of the game 10 years ago, but like neither was a ton of other stuff, you know, or like the things that were defined the game 10 years ago did not define it 10 years before that. And so, I don't know. It's like you can't really fight it in a certain way. Are you going to you're going to try to change the rules to make baseball like this, the same as this like platonic ideal that you have of it? Like that doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
It is. I agree with you. Yeah. Like, cause like it's never been that static.
I feel
and
like
every generation, like when we were kids, the baseball we learned, that was like to people that, again, were like in their 30s or 40s, was probably like, oh God, I miss, you know, the days of whatever was happening then, you know?
Yeah, like, absolutely. And I think like from my perspective, like if baseball is going to change rules or change like the balls or change whatever, it's like, as long as it's in service of making watching baseball more fun, like I'm down for it.
And home runs are and it's not like teams, if it became the norm where like it was like 8 home runs every game wasn't, I'd be like, well, this is just a fundamentally different situation.
This is like a
softball. But like they're never going to introduce aluminum bats. Like, I mean, that's the bridge too far.
Aluminum balls. That's what they should introduce.
I don't even know what that would do.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Now I want to know. But like, yeah, as long as it's still the same baseball. It's different, but it's still fundamentally the same.
I wonder if there's like in like MLB The Show or in any of the other games, like you should be able to customize like rule sets and like equipment rules and stuff like that to like just completely fuck with the physics and like fuck
so
with the
fun.
Like ways that the games are sort of simulated and rules and stuff like that. I would be down for that. Like,
I wonder if someone has modded that or if that's possible.
Somebody should, if not, because like I would love to play a baseball game where there's like 12 defenders on the field and you're playing with like, aluminum bats and like just what is that like?
You know? Bases moves. like when you're running, you have to like hit it.
Yeah.
But like the juice ball, I don't think it's enough of a change for me to care because it's to me, it's like, well, I bet first baseman mitts are way better than they were. 20 years,
yes, absolutely.
Like it's like, and it's not a safety
and
thing.
Training
to
and
make
like
things
everything.
Easier. Yeah,
I guess the one other thing that I think is bullshit about it is that MLB like denied it for so long.
Yeah. Oh well.
When it's like so transparently clear now, I'm just like, why did you just say like, yes, the balls are slightly
because
different
because home runs are cool and people want to see like, and again, it's not a the problem is the true problem is that more people are trying to hit home runs. To the detriment of putting the ball in play or there are more strikeouts. I get if you're just like, well, I'm a fan of ball in play. I watch a lot of games and I don't feel like I feel like I only know the ball isn't in play as much because I'm told that.
I think it is noticeable for me, but I think the bigger problem is like, when there aren't balls in play, like the game does feel like it slows down sometimes. And I feel like that's where I really want like the pitch clock, you know, where it's like I get that large amounts of inaction are boring because they're boring to me too. So like the solution is not to sort of finagle the rules so that, you know, you put a limit on where the shortstop can stand or whatever. It's like, no, just make people throw it more take less air out of the game.
Yeah. And there's ways to do that.
Yeah. Tons of ways.
That's what drives me crazy about the shift stuff is like, the point is that like what baseball is that someone throws it and tries to get it past the batter and the batter is trying to put the ball in play and then eventually come around and score. That's what the game is, right?
Yeah.
And the point of positions is that you're trying to set it up so the batter has the hardest time doing that.
Yeah.
And so
it's like fundamental to the game. Like, you put players where it makes sense to put them.
And so the shifting is just like, okay, so, and I get it, man. It sucks. Like, I've seen it where a man's on third and Anthony Rizzo's up against the shift and he hits a ball that 15 years ago would have been a for sure base hit between second and first.
Yeah.
And it goes right to the third baseman who's all the way over there in the outfield. Like, it's annoying when that happens, but it's also like, you got to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the players. The defense adapted. Now you had to adapt.
Yep.
And that's all. Because, like, fundamentally, the game is just like, I don't know. I keep saying it. It's just, like, I don't get it. Like, I get that it's different, but I don't get why. It's not so different that it's not baseball.
Yeah. I feel like we are almost always on the same page about stuff like this. And I'm like, is it even interesting to talk about or to listen to? Because we're both like,
just like,
yes, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe.
It is. I'm just
all ESPN is.
Yeah. No doubt. I'm just wondering if I need to take the devil's advocate more often and just be like, no way, the sanctity of the game. To bring back a quote from last week's episode.
God, I hate that. But I mean, I think we brought up stuff, though, like that we think would be a bridge too far.
Yeah, for sure. No.
There are other fixes. How do you feel about robo umps?
I'm generally for them. I still think you would need umps like on the field, but like, give me a more consistent strike zone.
You need an ump. Yeah, you need an ump for a strike zone. I think you can have person umps.
Right.
In the field.
Right.
Because
replay
fixes any.
But just to call
balls
and strikes, absolutely. Sorry to put Joe West out of work, but I'm not actually to put him out of work because he's a bad umpire.
Is the argument against robo-umps just that human error is part of the game?
I think so. And history and like, well, the technology's not there yet or whatever. I don't know.
But the technology, it's ahead of the technology of like a robot. Are you saying there's a robo-ump that's, they're not still, the best robo ump is still worse than the worst ump?
I don't know. These are just arguments that I've sort of heard in the ether or heard people make. So I don't know whether it's true or not.
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like with self-driving cars, you know, like one of the big things that's going to happen is when they become a little more normal, they're going to be like, what? Like, there's going to be a month where there are like 10 fatal self-driving car crashes or whatever.
Right.
But in that time, there would have been 25 fatal human.
Yeah, but it's hard to see what would have been wrong.
You could look at the stats from previous.
No, I know. But like all that people will see is like the mistakes and not
how because, it's still an improvement.
Yeah, because those mistakes will be more visible or whatever.
And it'd be like, oh, that self-driving car killed. And it's like, well, those people, yes, wouldn't have died. It's very tragic. But it's still safer overall. And it's really hard to push people through.
I see what you're saying. So
it's hard to replace an imperfect thing with a thing that's not perfect.
Right, and so when the robo-umps kill someone, we'll see.
Yeah, because it's going to be an actual robot standing behind the plate.
We'll see that murder happen, but we wouldn't have known how many people regular umpires murdered at that time. I get what you're saying.
I'm surprised we have not talked about the umpire murder epidemic that's going through baseball.
Yeah, it's a part of the game now. The game is changing. You know, sometimes umpires murder players.
And coaches. Coaches can get murdered.
They shouldn't have flipped their bats. That's all I'm going to say.
So the umpire murdered someone because of a bat flip.
Well, that's kind of all we wanted to hit today. Yeah. It's going to be sort of a briefer episode. But we'll be back next week with more.
It'll be May.
It'll be May. We'll have a month of baseball data to sift through. The Ducksnort Research Lab will be ramping up to full speed, crunching the numbers, testing the balls.
All our robots that we have in our lab.
Our robots have yet to kill anyone, thank goodness. But please stick around next week. Please rate and review the show. Subscribe if you're not subscribed. Follow us on Twitter. Recommend us to your friends. Always appreciate all that stuff. Thanks to Boardwalk Audio and Off the Bench Baseball, as well as Moonbounce for the transition music. Thank you to you, Wayland, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Greg. It's a nice way to end our week.
Yeah.
Well, this comes out. When does this come out?
This comes out Monday, so start the audience's week, finish our week.
It used to come out on Tuesday.
Yeah, we've been inconsistent about it, which I think is one of the most important parts about podcasting is making sure your audience never knows exactly when an episode is going to come out.
Do you have a single podcast where you know what day it comes out, other than a daily one?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I don't think I know what day any of my podcasts come out. Like they just appear in my feed and then I listen to it.
Well, then you and I
isn't
are different.
Isn't that how subscribing works?
Yeah, no. It definitely is. There are podcasts that I've subscribed to that I don't know, but there are also ones that I do
know. I was being a little, I know a couple when they come out, but just because I've listened to enough to be like, oh, I've noticed.
Right.
It's just like TV shows. I don't know when almost any TV show comes out.
Yeah.
It just shows up. I just think of it and be like, oh, I should check if there's a new episode of this
show. I know when one show comes out, Game of Thrones, which I'm about to finish watching as soon as we stop recording. So this is the end of the episode. We will talk to you guys next week. So long.
A Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.